Earlier this week, the artist of the deal himself, President Donald Trump, offered China better trade terms in exchange for cooperative help on North Korea and its dangerous nuclear program. The offer may go somewhere, but Japan apparently doesn't believe it. Doesn't believe that the U.S. and China can constrain Kim Jong-un on their own. So on Wednesday, Japan announced its latest strategy. It will send destroyers to the East China Sea to team up with the United States aircraft carrier strike group. There is a possibility, even an expectation, of another North Korean missile test. The latest one occurred last week ahead of Donald Trump's first meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping. And this Saturday is North Korea's Day of the Sun, the most important national holiday, commemorating the birth of North Korean founder Kim Il-sung. Last year, Kim Jong-un attempted a missile launch on the holiday. Lindsay Ford is the Director for Security Programs for the Asia Society Policy Institute.
They're clearly determined to have a nuclear capability, and they believe that it's essential to regime survival. If anything, I think that probably this past week, the Trump administration's decision to launch a strike in Syria has probably reinforced that belief for them. They see what's happened in other places in the Middle East, and the takeaway lesson is if you don't have nuclear weapons, you get ousted and you get attacked, and therefore we have to have them, and it's the only thing that will ensure that we stay around.
So speaking that way, it sounds as though Kim Jong-un is committed to demonstrating to the world a nuclear delivery capacity, missile plus warhead, at some point in the next year or two.
Absolutely. I think when you look at the pace of the testing that they've undertaken over the last couple of years, it's clearly escalating. And the challenge that this poses for the United States and for other allies and partners is that in the past, the gamble was essentially that you could convince the North Koreans to trade away their nuclear capabilities. There's growing concern that assessment is not accurate and that Kim Jong-un has absolutely no intention of trading it away. And that makes our policy options much more challenging.
Japan moving a naval force in with the Vinson suggests that Japan doesn't believe anymore that this can be handled without it taking some kind of a stand. What's going on in Japan?
We have to remember there's a few audiences here. So obviously one is North Korea. And you're trying to send a strong signal to the North Koreans that the United States and allies like Japan are standing closely alongside each other and have significant military capabilities to deter North Korean activities and to respond to them if they had to. But there's a domestic audience as well. And, you know, in Japan, as in South Korea, the folks at home are keenly aware of the fact that were there to actually be a crisis on the North Korean peninsula, Japan and South Korea would be really the first place where the North Koreans would lash out. So it's a serious threat for them. And being able to say we operate closely alongside the United States and that we're ready to respond to any of these challenges is a really important message to send to folks at home.
But does Kim Jong-un fear the Japanese at all? Does the Japanese taking a higher profile here in any way make Kim Jong-un think differently about this mission to demonstrate a nuclear capability?
I don't think it's not the Japanese alone in the same way that it's not realistically the United States alone. It has to do with the combined capabilities of the United States, South Korea, Japan together. I think clearly Kim Jong-un cares about these types of activities because we see, that he responds very strongly a lot of times when South Korea, when the United States, when Japan engage in exercises and training and these types of actions together. I think we have to be realistic that this alone doesn't necessarily solve or deter North Korea from their nuclear program. I think it is one piece of a much larger, more complicated puzzle.
In your view of the entire region, if Kim Jong-un demonstrates nuclear weapons in some way that is more open, because an underground test is very different from a delivery of a missile warhead, does that take the constraints off of Donald Trump to consider some sort of nuclear gesture in the East China Sea that might completely change the game since the end of the Korean War?
Yeah, I think we got to be careful about nuclear gestures.
That's a
high stakes way to send a signal.
You heard the rhetoric from the campaign just as I did here. We heard what Donald Trump said about the U.S. nuclear capacity and that he might consider it.
We did. But, you know, then you also saw when he met with Xi Jinping last week, coming out of the talk, much as it was on healthcare and many other things, was suddenly, I had a conversation with Xi Jinping. He kind of explained to me the longstanding relationship between China and North Korea, and who knew that it was so complicated. So, you know, there was some campaign rhetoric that was a lot of saber rattling. I think what you've seen more recently coming out of the administration, quite frankly, is probably going to be a enhanced version of what you saw under the Obama administration, which is going to be the near-term focus on increased sanctions. That's where they're going to put pressure on the Chinese, is to really try to ratchet up cutting off North Korea's economic lifelines. They'll try to do some more work through the UN, cut off sort of their remaining diplomatic and political connections around the world. I don't think that you're going to see them go first to a military option. It doesn't mean it's not on the table. It's always on the table. But the reality is that any military options on the North Korean peninsula, you don't want to go there first, because you have a regime that has the capability to strike the United States, potentially, to strike our allies, our forces in other countries. And if you had a crisis on the North Korean peninsula, the economic consequences, of a massive war in East Asia would be, really unprecedented.
Lindsay Ford is Director for Security Programs for the Asia Society Policy Institute. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.